Hello, this is the Nightline Podcast. My name's James Pikeaway, and if you want to learn more about the program, please go to www.dubaii1038.com or email us, nightline@dubaii1038.ae. Enjoy the show.
And I want to welcome you to the program, by the way. Good evening. Welcome to the show as I'm talking.
Thank you, James. Nice to be here.
Anu Bardwaj joining us from Women Investing in Women. It's great to have you here. And, you know, I was going to read through your bio and give all these great stats and things. And, you know, I'd really love to talk about the whole tourism business that you'd set up for, what, over 10 years you ran this very particular business. And then you've moved on and... You know, I'm looking at some numbers from when you were working with the Department of Commerce on their private equity and venture capital certified trade missions. Phenomenal amount of funding generated. And then somewhere in between, you realized, you know what? Women investing in women. We need to spend a little bit more time, women investing in women. And you founded a means to do this.
Yes.
Tell me the story. Tell us the story. How did this come about?
So Women Investing in Women, the genesis was actually a Fulbright research project that I did at the Indian Institute of Technology in Mumbai back in 2007. And I was looking at high growth women entrepreneurs in India, what the Indian economy was doing to nurture them, support them. And I had just completed my MBA program at the Stockholm School of Economics the year before. And so I was coming from fresh eyes from having lived in Scandinavia for 4 years. And
so you were energized at this point.
I was energized, and I was ready to get back into the emerging markets, ready to get back into India. And when I landed, my professor had said, you know, we need you to find your samples, and we want you to get some interviews done. And based on the criteria that we came up with, we only found 20 women in a country of a billion who classified.
Oh, hold on a sec. 20 women who would actually work in this sample?
Yeah, that are considered high-growth women entrepreneurs, those that were venture-backed, those that were scaling and growing their businesses to over $1 million a year.
That's shocking.
Hiring, you know, employees and whatnot. And this was back in 2006. So
were you shocked?
I was shocked because there's a lot of growth. There's a lot of women in tech in India, which is different than other parts of the world. We have a lot of women doing computer science and a lot of women doing business at the same time. But what they've done is they have more or less become intrapreneurs working within companies as opposed to, you know, considering high growth women's entrepreneurship. And so what were the challenges? And in that study, we narrowed it down to three criteria that we thought were the bottlenecks. And one was access to capital. The second was access to global networks. And the third was political and regulatory issues. Mm-hmm. And out of that, my professor said, why don't you just pick one area that you're really passionate about and that you think is going to be consistent with what's happening in other clusters of innovation. And we chose access to capital. So that's where the study started, and we looked at angel investing, we looked at venture capital, private equity, and institutional investing. And in order to find these people who could give me the answers to interview, I needed to go to private equity conferences to go and meet these fund managers and institutional investors. And so I signed up for as many conferences as I could. The next few months, went to Dubai Super Return, Hong Kong Super Return, Private Equity International, Dow Jones, whatever it was. I just said, look, I'm a Fulbright scholar. I need to meet, you know, certain people. Would you allow me to attend your conference? And I went to about 30 conferences like that.
Wow.
And just really dove into the industry. And the day that I finished my Fulbright, I was hired by Abu Dhabi Investment Corporation to help them with their Nordic strategy for their MENA buyout fund.
Okay. Excellent. Yeah. So there was fruit from doing all this.
Absolutely.
Taking it back to looking at this particular demographic, you're looking at women.
Yes.
You're looking at their ability to literally nurture talent and really put something back into society through investing in women. How difficult and how discouraging was it when you're going to all these conferences and you're finding the numbers, you know, astoundingly low?
So here's what was interesting. What I realized is that on the GP side, the general partner side, where women are actually managing assets and investing capital, it's true, there's a lower number. But what was not spoken, and what still is, in my opinion, virgin territory or untapped potential, is the number of women that could actually invest from the institutional side or family office side.
Ah.
So my gut was telling me, look, there's women who are married to wealth, who are accessing wealth through inheritance, through divorce, they're making their money. Why are they not investing? And if so, if they are investing, what are they investing in? And at that point, my study had migrated towards, let's not look at where the capital isn't, let's look at where it was. And it was timely because when I first started, going to these conferences, my very first conference I remember was the Hong Kong Super Return. And, we were all in this big room and first coffee break came and everybody ran out. And, I didn't understand. It was my first conference. And I was like, what happened? And they said, well, Lehman collapsed. So it was like the beginning of the financial crisis and everyone was panicked. But, my eyes were on where is the money, not where it wasn't. And what we found out is that women alone right here in the Gulf, like right here in Saudi Arabia and the GCC, control over $120 billion assets under management.
$120 billion? Dollars?
Yes, sitting in banks. And again, this is capital that can be moved into the innovation economy.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's like, they're patiently sitting on this capital. I just came from Saudi Arabia and I had this conversation with this superstar businesswoman. And mm-hmm. she said, many of us get $1 million a year to play with to invest. And we can put it in real estate or stocks or whatever, and our brothers handle the bulk of the assets. But they've given us some money and said it's yours to invest, and we look for opportunities.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, based on all this, Women Investing in Women was born.
Yeah, just knowing that there's money out there. Number one, knowing that there's individuals who are just trying to learn about what to do with their capital constructively. But more importantly, that there are statistics out there, and in many countries, women are now taking more university seats. I know that right here in the region alone, 70% of the graduates are women. 85% of the consumer decisions are made by women. There's a lot of companies that are started by women, yet we are not able to see these companies grow. And there's been data done by the Center for Venture Research that shows from 2004 to 2014 a trend where the more number of women investors that you have, the more number of women entrepreneurs get backed. So honestly, the only way we're going to solve this issue of getting more women-led companies funded is by getting more women investors. So that's really our goal, is to educate, inspire, and motivate women to really sit at the table and make these decisions.
How hard is it? How hard is it to get from the, we've got some money in the bank, we've got, as you said, there's billions sitting there.
Right.
We've got these very smart women who have money. There's some great ideas. What's getting in the way of connecting all of these dots? Hold that thought, because we need to take a really short break. And we want to hear from you. We want to hear your stories as well, is what Anu's talking about, what you're also witnessing, what you're also hearing. Because what I want to know is what's getting in the way in your organization? What's getting in the way in the organizations you're part of more of these women-led ventures, more investment in women happening? Or are you finding that it's all happening organically anyway, and it's not such an issue? Anu's got a lot more to share with us, and we want to hear from you. I'm joined in studio by Anu Bardwaj, and she is the founder of Women Investing in Women. Anu Bardwaj joining us from Women Investing in Women. We're talking about women. We're talking, in a sense, about empowerment. We're talking about creating opportunities. And one of the questions that constantly comes up is, but aren't we already doing all this? And isn't there a lot already happening? And we were just talking about this off air. You said there's a lot going on. And the problem is, there's so much going on. how do we start to bring these strands together?
Absolutely. So I think that, you know, if there was a time in history where women are advancing towards gender equality, it is now. And there's so many initiatives when it comes to like getting more women on boards, for instance.
The number is really bad when we start looking at the number on boards. I mean,
yes,
the statistics are, it's like 13% if you look at boards, especially in the UK, 13% of board members of companies are women. Judges, 1%. If you start looking at, you know, you look at beauty things, you know, fashion buyers, 89%.
Yeah. Yep.
You go the other direction, it's everything is well below 50%. It's everything's coming together, but it's not looking good.
Well, even if you look at world leaders, for that matter, like in women in politics or government or in the private equity arena, or there's a statistic, women in venture capital, that's actually, they're decreasing, not increasing. Like, we made some headway. So I think, you know, there's a number of initiatives, the conversation's going. What's unique about our generation is that we're all connected through social media.
Do you think that's the glue?
I think that's the glue. I think that's going to be the driver, because women now use social media 3 times as much as men, and we're having these conversations online. And, you know, there's data that's spreading. I know from our own experience, you know, we're connecting about 625,000 followers right now on our Facebook just alone. And we have about 52% male and 48% females in the conversation between 18 to 35.
Now, how this confuses me just a little bit.
Sure.
So we're talking about women investing in women. We're talking about the state of women, which is sort of an umbrella that you've put together to really capitalize on bringing all these strands together, uses social media and other forms. And it's fantastic. You'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. When I sit down and I talk about women investing in women, and so the idea of women helping to promote women in the workplace, and I would think that the number of women wanting to engage in that gender parity, in that gender success model, would be higher.
I think what we have is a relatively high number to start with, but what's, you know, what's actually...
Well, I would think it would be higher than men.
Well, this is what's happening. Like, I went to an all-girls school. Let's start there. And typically when you have a lot of females, like, men are not far away. And you've got concerned fathers and boyfriends and spouses and sons. And what I'm noticing is that, you know, we're not going to get anywhere without the buy-in of the men. We've never excluded them. Hmm. Our conversation is not confrontational by any means.
So we're not talking hyper-feminism here.
No, we're talking about inclusion.
Okay.
And that's the beauty of this, is that when you have an inclusive dialogue, it's almost gender equal, to the point where we're actually engaging men in the conversation. And basically getting their support. Like, our investors, we have close to, we've got 50-50, male and female, but the men are putting in, you know, large sums of money to back the initiative that we're doing. We have more interest, and the question always comes up.
Is it guilt? Do you think it's guilt that men think that?
No. I don't think, I think it's shame.
Shame.
I think it's more shame.
They're ashamed that women haven't been given the opportunities, and they...
Correct. They want to do something about it, and I think it's responsibility, and, you know, the real gentlemen are out there saying, you know what, I'm going to lend you a hand, I'm going to give you my support, and, you know, we've been so fortunate. My attorney, Douglas Elinoff, he not only stepped up, he said, you know, it's not just about me, it's my whole firm that's behind you. Mm. I'm going to put you in touch with a corporate securities attorney, an IP attorney, and you know, this, our firm is going to step up and drive this with you.
There are women of power, though, like yourself. There are women who have succeeded, who have done very well, who've got all this experience. Why aren't more of them also jumping in? I mean, I'm going back again to this, with the number that you gave out, that you've got more men involved than women. And I'm stuck on it. And I just don't understand. I mean, I get the shame idea. I get, hey, you know what? I've got the means in my company and I'm going to do it, whether I'm male or female. Hey, it doesn't matter. But women investing in women, I would think there would be more women jumping forward and saying, hey, we've got to be the role models ourselves.
So we are getting a lot of women, but yeah. I would say that, you know, there, like I mentioned before, there are a number of initiatives that yeah. are already being led by women. And what I found, particularly in the West, it's... Are you just a B2, or you know, what about me? Like it's some of it is the competitive aspect of it, but then there's others that are saying, you know what, we want to collaborate. And what we found through Women Investing in Women is that those who want to collaborate are, you know, there's so many around the globe, which is why we created thestateofwomen.com. Mm. For those of you who are listening today, check out thestateofwomen.com. It just launched 2 weeks ago on January 11th.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And we're like working with our collaborators. So, you know, ultimately what will happen is, you know, these other initiatives, we want to give them the spotlight. We want to support them. And the more that we have, the stronger that we get. So that's kind of our signature initiative is the State of Women website, and we're also going to be launching the State of Women Newswire in the near future in English and Arabic. So stay tuned. I mean, we're here to bring the movement together and collaborate with as many of these people that are out there. So you're absolutely right. Yeah, there are a lot of women that are doing something. It's just that they are driving in their own different way. We just have to march in the same direction.
Anu Bhardwaj is who you're listening to. Women Investing in Women is what she has founded. As you said, we've got so many things going on here. How do you navigate the skepticism about what you're doing? As you said, there's so many initiatives that are seemingly detached from each other. Here you guys have come in. You're helping to pull some things together. Yeah. You've got some great investment behind it. You I mean, noble what you're doing. How do you navigate the skepticism and say, hold on a second, what makes this any different than anything else? And why you, why now?
Great question. So number one, we have been building ourselves organically. We've been growing organically for almost the past 9 years. So it's not something we just woke up and said, hey, this is cool, let's do it, and, you know, maybe we'll be successful. So it's been grounded in research, number one. We've tested out our market in smaller group sessions, content on women's entrepreneurship and women investing. That worked. We created a global summit series starting in Phoenix, Arizona, and then went to Stockholm, Johannesburg, we went to New York, we went to Vienna, Austria, where was the other one? Singapore, and Muscat as well. So we've been testing out these roundtable formats and also the Global Summit series. And then we just said, you know what, let's glue our audience together in social media. We started with 500, you know, participants on our Facebook page, and now we're at 625,000 in about a year, which is bigger than Forbes Women, She Knows Media, and UN Women.
Wow.
So, and we're not like a massive organization. We're like baby startup. And with that said, like, you know, these are large organizations, large followings, and...
Why are people following you? What do you think is the reward your followers are getting? What are they seeing that they're not seeing on these other sites?
I think we've nailed the content. Because from the get-go, we said, you know, we're not all over the place. Like, you know, there's so many different conversations. There is an organization that I co-founded in Phoenix, Arizona called 85 Broads. 85 Broads has a chapter here in Dubai. And, you know, they do everything from, like, coffee to, like, let's do a, you know, girls' night out to, like, cocktail reception to small panels here and there. And, you know, we did that in Phoenix also. But I think what we had was focus. And from day one, I said, we are Women Investing in Women. We're going to talk about investing. And there was that laser-focused theme of how do we get more women to invest. And I think that was like, it was kind of like the tip of the needle, right? That's gonna drive us forward is, you know, we got to think about economics, number one. Money is power. Knowledge is power. How do we get that power? We have to actually, you know, change our inherent nature of consuming to investing, and that's how we have power. So I think, you know, from the beginning, we said our focus is going to be on educating women how to invest, how to get women entrepreneurs funded, because that's important. But one of the common themes that we've said from day one is we want to talk about global women's issues because this is affecting all of us. So I think that's the content that you see on this Facebook conversation. But more importantly, we're putting that on the State of Women as well. And so far, the reception has been like right where we want it to be.
All right. Well, this becomes interesting because even in this whole, we talk about, you know, women's issues and then talking about investing and talking about entrepreneurs, you have three very, they umbrella nicely, but there are three very divergent areas and three very tricky areas in some cases, depending on where we are, in which countries and which political systems we're dealing with and what's going on. I mean, with oil prices having plummeted and resources and the nature of global economy being as it is, challenging times for you guys.
Challenging in one sense, but it's also opportunistic, right? So if we look at what kind of issues are we covering when it comes to global women's issues, we're looking at advancement. So there was a statistic that just said, you know, FGM in certain African countries is now banned. For instance, women in Saudi Arabia have the right to vote. We are moving forward. In the United States, we've been fighting for getting more women on boards. I think we're close to like 17% now. Like the target was 20% by 2020. We're actually moving the needle. So rather than just, you know, complaining on what's not happening, I think we're actually seeing successes, and that gives me...
Do you think do you think that is part and parcel of the dilemma that many face? And as you said, there's a lot of divergent groups that are doing this. Too much time complaining about what's not happening, too little time celebrating what is happening.
Correct.
And using those as the, you know, borrow the, that coined phrase, baby steps to making progress.
Right. So that's our whole point, is we're going to celebrate every single success. We're going to highlight it no matter where these milestones are happening around the globe. And we want to bring them to the attention saying, you know what, things are changing, things are getting better. It's up to you to take a stand, and it's not something you have to do all day long, but, you know, we see more women in the workplace that are stepping up to mentor, for instance. And traditionally, women have been, like, overwhelmed with just balancing family and balancing work. You don't have time to mentor like men do. You come home and you take care of the kids and do whatever. But, you know, there's tools and technologies like webinars and Skype. And so there's like ways to work around, you know, just your whole contribution in general. Like I, for instance, really get active and start communicating with other people around the world once my child goes to bed. And with social media, I'm communicating and I'm sharing and I'm, you know, posting things and whatnot. So I think technology has really given us, like God has given us a gift with technology. And there's just a lot that we can do without having to overexert ourselves or feel like overwhelmed and, you know, I'm helpless and whatnot. I think we're really empowered with that.
Anu Bradwaj joining us in studio. She's the founder of Women Investing in Women. I'm joined in studio by Anu Bradwaj. She is the founder of Women Investing in Women. I got the badge this time.
Yay!
the running joke is I've been mispronouncing her name there the whole show, but I got it once though.
Awesome.
I want to jump back into female entrepreneurs, women entrepreneurs.
Yes.
Okay, first thing, and you brought this up, so I'm jumping back on a comment that you made, and one of the challenges is with women becoming entrepreneurs, or not becoming entrepreneurs, releasing those entrepreneurial skills, setting them free and acting on them, because I really do believe every woman I've met has the ability and the capability to be a tremendous entrepreneur. Trusting herself to do it is a whole other thing.
Correct.
Finding mentors.
Yes.
I want to get your take on this, but also not necessarily comparing themselves, women comparing themselves to men. And I think to me, this is a huge challenge because, as you said, I mean, you know, there's slightly, if you look at the numbers, slightly more women on the planet than men, but men seem to occupy these positions of power. And as my own Prime Minister from Canada, Justin Trudeau, said,
he's my hero,
you know, that classic line, I just want to get it and play it over and over again at the swearing in of his cabinet when one of the reporters yelled out, "So you want to talk about how you do, you know, why you have gender parity in your cabinet?" And he said, "It's 2015.
Uh-huh.
And that was it. There's nothing more to say. It's 2015. Yeah. Why wouldn't you have a whole parody on your cabinet? So, I mean, just phenomenal. But so often, women are looking at men and saying, "Man, I want to be like that guy," which is great. But then comparing and measuring, which I know someone's going to start yelling at me saying, "But James, what are you talking about?" But men and women have different things going on. And as you said, you could be a mother, you could be taking care of a whole family. There's all sorts of things that impact on the ability to execute those entrepreneurial skills. How do you see helping women to realize their potential without drowning in that comparison that can be very adverse to progress?
So I think that the women who I look up to, who have been like uber successful, you know, growing companies or starting companies or exiting companies, are ones that are not really competing with the men, but those who are competing with themselves. And this is like the super alpha. This is a super alpha female. Is, you know, you are invincible. You're like women made of steel, and you know, you just operate a different way, and I think
those women are kind of scary. They're almost more male than men, in a sense.
Well, they're yes, they've got she male.
Yes,
yeah, they've got some tendencies, but you know, ultimately, like the role models that I have, they have.
Who are your role models?
Well,
I'm putting you on the spot here.
Yeah, no. There's a woman that's in Sweden who I used to teach her son. He was one of my SAT students.
Okay.
And she ended up taking two companies public. She's a physicist and just amazing, like singer, songwriter, composer. She sings opera. Her son is a DJ in Los Angeles, and her daughter graduated with a dual degree from Harvard and MIT and is running a startup in Paris right now.
Wow.
And just amazing family. And it's just like the way that she balances her life and her work and her friendships, and she's so gracious all the time, but at the same time it's like super feminine, just awesome. And I've always looked up to her because it's, you know, her success is amazing, but she's also been an amazing mother at the same time, and still married to her like college sweetheart, and just, you know, the way that they've been able to balance is amazing.
Mm. So it's finding those people,
yes,
as part of what you're doing with Women Investing Women and,
yes,
and State of Women, is,
yes,
finding these mentors,
oh, yes,
to say, "Hey, take a look over here."
Mm-hmm.
This might help you to just, you know, compete with yourself by looking at what some of these other women have been able to succeed at.
Absolutely. And also, you know, we're finding mentors from across the globe. So, you know, whether it's in Saudi Arabia, or whether it's in Singapore, whether it's in Scandinavia or the United States, we have a radio show called Women Investing in Women and Girls. And my babysitter, Michelle Jaffe, was our first host.
Oh, Michelle, fantastic.
Michelle just got accepted to the Wharton School of Business with a $40,000 a year scholarship.
Wow.
So she's podcasting for us from there.
Congratulations,
yeah, exactly,
to her.
So we're now, you know, launching the State of Women Radio Network. Michelle's going to be podcasting from
the Wharton School of Business.
School of Business, and we're covering topics on private equity, impact investing, angel investing. She's involved in their Women in Business Conference. So she's totally tracked and mentored. But what I've had Michelle do is call up Princess Rima of Saudi Arabia, who's, uh-huh, now one of our investors. And we've had her call the head of Intel Women and Girls, the former deputy prime minister of Sweden. Like she was yeah, doing these interviews when she was 17, 18. And now, you know, we're diving in even deeper and saying, you know, what kind of conversations do we want to have with women that are first-time entrepreneurs or serial entrepreneurs? So we're bringing in all this content. But again, it's coming from the voice of like a 17 or 18-year-old girl that's looking at it from the first time. So we're really, really trying to engage the younger audience, but at the same time highlight, you know, these role models.
That younger audience that you mentioned before that,
yeah,
you know, still isn't jaded yet, still yeah, says, you know what, I can do anything.
Right.
I just need to trust myself. I can do it. And hold on, she can do it. I can do it. I can board. Put that up there.
It's not only that, but it's like, you know, when we've created our iTunes library, any woman from around the world can access this content.
Mm.
The fact that it's podcasted by someone, you know, who's a millennial adds weight to the conversation, adds depth to the discussion. But ultimately, these are role models for me, and these are role models for other women my age.
How hard is it to get these role models to jump into the mentoring idea? How hard is it to convince some of these women that, you know what, you can be a mentor? Because so many women I've met, they're very successful, they would be great mentors, and sometimes I talk to them and they go, you know, am I really the right person?
I think it has a lot to do with chemistry.
Okay.
I think it happens organically. Like when, you know, let's say you're in a certain industry sector, or maybe you're in the same corporation or whatnot. It's that dynamic that happens naturally, and you can't push it on anyone. And so I think nowadays it's becoming easier. It's not as formalized as it used to be in the past, where you meet for lunch or dinner or whatever. I mean, it's, you know, casual conversations. Look, I found this interesting article, or I found, like, let me share this post with you or whatnot. And that's how I mentor Michelle. It's like, I'm constantly feeding her content, and then she runs with it. And then she sends me stuff back. So in a way, like...
So you're getting... it's reverse mentoring.
It's reverse mentoring. And yeah, it totally is. And so it's like, what do you think of this? And so it's like this... It's moving from, like, you know, what I'm sharing with her. It's honestly a dialogue. So you really... I think women now are stepping up. And part of the time, it's like, well, I want to work with someone that's going to be uber successful. And I think finding someone to invest their time in is part of the challenge. And I think, you know, women are super selective about where they spend their time, just because they have so little of it. So I think, you know, there's formal networks coming there. I'll give you an example. The Cherie Blair Foundation has a mentoring program. I know Lean In Circles, like with Sheryl Sandberg, she's like putting together like a program. People are you know, that's gone viral. So yeah, I mean, there's Levo League and, you know, the Muse. I mean, there's different networks that are popping up now. I'm not part of all of them, but definitely check out thecircularboard.com for those of our listeners. That's a virtual accelerator, and they have mentors on there too.
See, again, this brings back to what you guys are doing with Women Investing in Women. Is there's so many of these things.
Right.
How do I know where to go? How do I know what I want to do? And,
That's right.
It's so easy to see it all and have to start making the choices, and then go, you know what? I don't have the time for this.
So we curate. We're curating on thestateofwomen.com. So we're looking at the best of the best. You know, models around the globe, and this is what I do. I've done 15,000 posts myself on Facebook, so I know
15,000
posts, and I know like what's going on, what's cutting edge. And someone once asked me, like, why don't you just get an intern to do that for you? And I'm like, you're not going to be laser razor sharp if you get someone to do this. This is the secret sauce. You got to know what's going on before you go out there and say, I'm the world authority on this.
Are people shocked in a sense when, I mean, you're sitting here with me, I'm a little bit surprised that you are actually writing your own posts. I mean, you know, not Tim Ferriss would be very proud. He said that's the way it's got to be done anyway. But are people genuinely a little surprised when they hear that, you know, you don't have an intern doing this, you don't have a staffer doing this, you're doing it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they're surprised. I think it's kind of expected, because when I quote stuff and when I give statistics, I don't say I've done the research. I say I can pinpoint the actual article. I've got a photographic memory, which is helpful. But, you know, I can drill down and say, you know, we know exactly what's going on, and if there's something that is as a trend, or, you know, what are these people actually interested in? Like through Facebook, we even have analytics. So I can look through and say, what's trending? What are these people actually interested in researching and reading? I can give them more of that kind of content. So it's like, It's an addiction. It's an obsession. I don't even know what to call it, but I just love doing it.
Anu Bradwaj joining us in studio. She's the founder of Women Investing in Women. We're having a conversation about how this all comes together to really get women thinking and promoting women across the world. Anu Bradwaj joining us from Women Investing in Women. She's the founder of that organization, and the State of Women is your latest activity that you guys have started. It's phenomenal.
Thank you.
What about the region, and what about where things are going now? When you start looking at what's happening, you've been around, you have many, many conversations. Where do you see things going in the next, 24 months?
Oh, great question. So I bought a one-way ticket to Riyadh this time from San Diego. And
who does that? I mean, you're the only person I know who's ever.
I don't know. And I had a couple meetings that were set up for me. So I met with the Olean Group and Riyadh Chamber of Commerce and a couple others. And it's just still preliminary conversations. But the topic was creating a $1 billion roundtable for women investing. And we also went to Kuwait. And met with a team there that we've been in dialogues with for several years to see if they want to have a similar roundtable.
And no one's laughing you out the door as oil prices have plummeted. And, as we said earlier, there's all sorts of things going on. You rock up and say, hey, this is what we want to do.
Right. We want to do this because ultimately there's a misconception in the West that the women here are marginalized and they don't have rights and what are they doing over there, and so let boohoo, but they actually have immense power, the power of the pen, the power of the purse, and the ability to move capital, which I think some of them are getting ready to do, like now with all the social media that we talked about earlier in the show. Highest number of Twitter users, highest number of YouTube users are in Saudi Arabia. And the thing is, I've been following these initiatives that have been happening there, like women, climbing Mount Everest and creating startups and, just leadership and, now political leadership also. So I think, part of it has been, I think it's time. I think, they're ready. And the fact that, yes, oil prices are dropping, there's an even greater need now than ever before for them to be active and engaged, to be part of the solution.
So do you think because of what's happening, because of global, the context, this is the perfect timing?
It's a perfect storm. Let's put it that way. And, these women are sitting in an unprecedented opportunity to get engaged, learn how to save, learn how to invest. I think they're warming up to the idea, saying, I haven't done this before, but I would be very interested in sitting at a table and exploring what my options are. And the conversation initially was, do we invest regionally? Do we invest locally? Do we invest globally? And I think that's what women investing is. That's the conversation that we want to have. I mean, wonderful that we're dominating social media. But now, the real game, and this is what I've been waiting for the past few years, is I want to bring private equity, venture capital, and crowdfunding platforms and angel deals to the table and give them the options and say, you know what, depending on your risk level and your appetite, these are some various opportunities. This is how it works. This is who these people are. And it's up to you to decide, do I want a really high potentially high return, or do I want to be safer? And the women that I've spoken to so far have said, I get $1 million a year to invest. I typically put it into real estate. And that's fantastic. But if your region is volatile, number one, and number two, if you have opportunities for higher returns, why wouldn't you take it?
Yeah.
And also what I'm also presenting to them is I've got some amazing technologies and areas and spaces that you are already passionate about. Breast cancer awareness, for instance, or it could be education related, or it could be some kind of a consumer product that they've been dying to see. We love Abayas. We think Abaya factories are wonderful, but we also think that, a tool that can help a child with brain cancer is amazing. And you can be a part of this global solution, and your money can go so far, and maybe, you know, it's not even a philanthropic investment. You can actually get a return out of this. So really just giving them that opportunity, that sort of education, which is what it comes down to at the end, I think that's where we're headed in the region. And the reception, even right here in the Emirates, I met with a group yesterday, an angel group called Wamina. Super impressed by these young women. They're 26 years old, met when they were at the American University of Paris, and they started an angel group, and there were 50, you know, participants in the room, some men, some women, looking at deals. Now, women are driving this conversation, young women, that too. And how do we move money? And today I met with Venture Souk, a woman that's spearheading that Indian French how should I say this, like, lovely lady. Yeah. And she's like contemplating, you know, starting a fund. So actually now, you know, women are taking the next step, which is not just I want to learn, but actually I want to actually create something. I want to drive this conversation. And from what I heard today, they're not just in the UAE anymore. Had over 400 investors. They've actually moved into Qatar. So with that said, I mean, women aren't holding themselves back anymore. I think they're ready to go, and I think it's our time. They're educating other women. They're also getting a lot of male counterparts included in this dialogue. So with that said, you know, the region has, I think it's experiencing some kind of, like, magic right now.
Magic.
Yeah, magic.
That's just, people are excited. I think part of it is, and as you said, it's a perfect storm. There is this realization that this is a way to take the education that they've been granted, the money that is available, and create something that isn't just a piece of property, but something sustaining, something that can make a difference. And at the same time, as you said, bring this to the table where we can bring other women to help them become much stronger, much bolder, and really players in the change that's happening across the region.
Absolutely. And I think Women Investing in Women is so poised to have this conversation better than any other organization on the planet, because we understand the global landscape. I mean, that's one of the things that I've noticed about my U.S. counterparts is they're myopic. They're focused on the U.S. market. Whereas we are honestly have been following this conversation for 9 years now and have said the time is now. We've got all our ducks in a row. We're ready to jump. And you know what? We've got the best partners. Like, you know, we've talked to the advisors, to the Saudi royal family, Kuwaiti royal family, Emirati royal family, Bahraini. I'm meeting the Sheikh tomorrow morning here in Dubai. It's limitless. Yeah. It's now.
You're so excited. As you're talking about this and looking at it, you've got a huge smile.
Yeah.
You're taking the words out. I mean, it really is great times.
Yeah, great times, and it's like the perfect place to be here. And I'm going to be celebrating in Abu Dhabi this weekend with with the Women Investor Girls. And their comment to me was, "It's just party time," and that's how I feel. Like, I'm here, and it's like party time. And
Anu, if people want to find out more, where are the different channels that you want to send them to if they want to get more information?
Absolutely. So first on Twitter, we're #WomenInvest. On Facebook, we are facebook.com/womeninvesting. For those of you who want to jump in and look at the content that we have, thestateofwomen.com. You can watch videos, high-definition videos, podcasts. We've got the State of Women Radio Network plugged in there. So if those of you who are lazy want to just one stop, just go to thestateofwomen.com. It's all there.
Not lazy, economical.
Economical. Oh, I mean, just meaning instead of like going to like five different hashtags or, different social, everything's in one place.
That's what I did. I just went to one place, stateofwomen.com.
That's
it's all there.
Yeah, it's all there.
Just made it super, it facilitated everything.
Absolutely. And
it's such a great site. It's so clean.
Thank you.
So easy to navigate.
Thank you.
And all of your team is there so you can see who they all are.
Thank
and I
got to
say, they're an impressive group of people.
Thank you. And they're my inspiration.
I like the Canadian connection as well. I got to say, that made me feel real good.
Yes. A shout out to CXI Media and News Deeply that we'll be partnering with in the near future, and Sheikha Al Thani, who's our new radio co-host.
There we go.
And Michelle Jaffe, and Yeah, Bruce Solston, who was helping us with Voice America Kids. So thank you to my amazing team, Patrice Register, who has been helping us also along the way. Just eternally grateful, and my extended team in Scandinavia. We've got about 60 people.
Wow.
I can keep going on and on, but, you know, thank you to everybody for making this happen. Thestateofwomen.com people. So if you want to join our conversation, we're more than excited to partner with you.
And I've been talking to Anu Bardwaj. Absolute pleasure to have you here in studio.
Thank you. And
look forward to continuing this conversation down the road.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you very much for coming out.
Okay.
Talk to you again soon.
Yeah.